Hallmark Entertainment presents a Matt 4 production. In association with Alpine Median and Larry Levinson Productions. Paintbrushes and other artists' materials lie strewn across a table. A Time to Remember. Dana Delaney, Doris Roberts, also starring Megan Gallagher. Red oil paint is squeezed out of a tube onto a palette. Rosemary Forsyth, Robert Bauer, Eric Anderson, Amy Steele, Davinia McFadden and Louise Fletcher. Someone paints on a canvas. Abstract paintings lean against a wall. The painter, Britt Calhoun, a red-haired woman in her 30s, has no shoes on. She studies her work thoughtfully and then carries on making some bold brushstrokes. She changes brushes, then continues painting. She stops and stares at her work, a smudge of dark paint on her cheek. She recharges her brush and paints some more, using vigorous strokes. She wipes her hands on her paint-stained shirt. She crouches down and stares at the painting. Britt walks over to a bed in her large studio and takes off her shirt. She flops down onto the bed. Hearing her baby crying, she gets up and walks over to the cot. The baby smiles up at her. Britt opens the fridge and takes out a baby's bottle, which she puts in a pan to warm. She switches the stove on. She holds the baby up.
Oh, little man. Yes, 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 yes.
Britt walks down a street and goes into the Walderson Gallery. Inside, she looks at some paintings. A 50-something woman with short blonde hair approaches her.
Britt, where were you last night? We missed you.
Everyone asked for you. Weren't you the one who told me that I had to build my body of work? I was home, working.
Nicholas said you were upset about something.
No, fine.
Britt strolls over to look at another painting.
You know, I raised two kids on my own right here. They'd crawl around the floor between the legs of the artists and climb in my lap while I was talking to investors. It's a great experience.
This kid is... he's a gift. It's just hard, you know?
The blonde woman, Dorothy, regards her sympathetically and nods.
I've recommended you for the Artist Academy Foundation grant.
You what?
It's worth $25,000 if they accept you. And, of course, a major exhibition.
Delighted, Britt hugs Dorothy. A town in rural America, a road bridge over a wide river. A big silver SUV drives up outside a large house set in leafy grounds. The driver, Valletta, an attractive brunette, gets out and greets an older grey-haired woman, Maggie, who's busy doing some gardening.
Morning, Mama. Oh,
good morning.
They kiss.
Ready for breakfast?
Oh, darling, I've made a decision about Thanksgiving.
Oh, good. Where do I make a reservation?
No, no, no. I'm going to cook.
Are you sure you want to do that?
Absolutely. Now, will you be a peach and call Connie and Merle? Because I have so many things to do. Oh, call Britt.
Why don't you call Britt?
I think it would be better if you did.
Maggie wanders off, leaving Valletta looking awkward. The phone rings in Britt's Los Angeles apartment come studio. Britt is asleep in bed with baby Henry. She wakes up and answers the phone.
Hello?
Britt, is that you?
Barely.
Did I wake you?
What time is it?
It's 2 p.m.
Oh, I was just snappy with Henry. What is going on, Valletta? Is everything all right?
Of course, everything's all right. I just haven't had a minute to check in on you. You know how it is here. We've been very busy.
Always lots going on. Julian has his business dinners. I'm picking people up, dropping them off. Cub Scouts.
Daughters of America meetings. I'm at Mama's.
And how is Maggie?
Oh, she's fine.
So what are you trying to say, Valletta?
Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yeah.
So she wants all of us here.
Yeah.
Mama says she's gonna fix dinner herself.
It would almost be worth coming to see that.
But do you know how long it's been since you've been here?
Okay. I'll think about it, okay?
Good. We'll see you then.
I'll let you know. And, Valletta?
Yes?
Thank you for the wake-up call.
Anytime.
They hang up. Valletta looks thoughtfully over at Maggie in the garden. In Britt's apartment, a middle-aged black woman, Marion, is working on a clay sculpture of a man's head. She wears glasses and a brightly coloured top. Britt sits nearby with baby Henry in his pram and watches Marion work.
You have got strong hands.
Maybe these are more like warning.
I don't know. It's really beautiful.
I knew I liked having you around. You're an easy audience to please. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Are you kidding me? If I didn't have you to look after Henry?
Hey, what did I tell you? That's what friends do for one another.
Henry is napping.
I get it. It's probably Nicholas.
She goes over to the door and lets Nicholas, a 30-something white guy, in.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry I'm late.
Okay.
They kiss briefly.
He's sleeping and I already fed him.
Good.
He looks at Henry.
Huh. I'll take him to the studio. Hey, Henry. How's my boy?
Hey, Nicholas. How you doing, man? You want something to drink?
No, thanks, Marion. No.
He turns to Britt.
Can I talk to you outside for a minute?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I got everything covered here.
Britt gives Marion a look.
So, have you thought about us at all?
Actually, very little.
That's funny. Seriously, there's someone else to consider in all this, you know?
Yeah, Henry and I are getting along just fine.
I know you're fine, but he needs a father.
He's got a father. You.
Okay, you know what I mean.
Do we really need to do this again?
Nicholas stops walking.
I want you, Britt. I want my son. I want to be like a real family.
I love you. I do.
He sighs.
I can't talk about this now.
She walks away from him. He follows and walks beside her.
And my mother wants me to come home for Thanksgiving, so if I go, I'm going to bring Henry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Want me to go with you?
Oh, God, no. I care about you way too much to subject you to my mother.
You need some money? I mean, I sold a couple paintings the other day. I'm able to help, you know.
I don't need anything. I'm fine.
Can I call you when you're there?
I didn't say I'm going.
She goes back inside. Maggie is round at her sister-in-law Billy's house. Billy cuts up a lemon as Maggie lays the table.
I sure hope Britt shows up. It'll be the first real Thanksgiving we've had in years. Remind me, which side of the knife does the spoon go on? It goes on the outside. Knife protects the spoon. Sit down, because here it comes.
Maggie takes a seat at the table.
Looks great. God, don't you ever get tired of taking care of your sister-in-law? Well, yeah. But But who else has the patience to deal with you?
Maggie laughs, then looks troubled by the comment. Billy pours some tea. In her apartment, Britt sits cross-legged on her bed, deep in thought. She looks over at the phone on the bedside table. A passenger plane touches down on a runway at an airport, raising small clouds of smoke from its tires. Britt carries Henry in his carry cot out of the airport to a taxi rank outside. A minicab drives along a dead straight residential street in a very posh part of town. The minicab pulls up outside Maggie's imposing residence. Britt gets out of the minicab and opens the back door to get Henry out.
We're here.
An excited Billy comes out of the house.
Britt! Ah, finally! I've just been waiting and waiting for you to get here.
Oh,
Lord. Ooh, thin as a stick.
Oh, please.
Don't they feed you in the big city?
I eat like a pig.
Where's that kid?
Henry.
She lifts him out of the minicab.
This is Henry.
What a handsome devil you are.
Meet your Aunt Billy, who's going to be on her best behavior, aren't you?
Not a ghost of a chance. Come on, let's go inside.
I'll get the bags.
No, leave them. I'll get them later.
Billy carries Henry up the steps to the house. Britt follows after them.
Well, Henry, here we are. Home. Why don't you come in the kitchen with me? I've got something really good for you.
Britt looks around the house uneasily.
We sure are glad you're home where you belong, kiddo.
Britt looks over at Billy and they share a smile.
Okay, here you are in Billy's kitchen.
Britt remains in the front room, taking it all in, her expression tinged with sadness. In the garden, Valletta supervises a gardener pruning a tree.
Careful, don't hack the limbs, cut them. I don't want them looking all chopped up.
Britt walks into the garden and finds her.
You should have been a general. Patton would have worshipped at your feet.
Valletta smiles. She walks over to meet Britt.
Hello there.
Hey.
How did you get here?
Took a cab.
Why didn't you tell anyone? I would have had you picked up.
Oh.
Is Henry with you?
Yeah, he's with me.
Britt, you took a cab with the baby?
Yeah.
You don't know anything about those drivers. That the cabs are filthy. A girl's not safe in one of those things.
Valletta.
No, when Julian and I go to the airport, we always hire a limo.
Okay, fine. What is going on here?
I'm trying to get this place into some sort of shape. Mama doesn't want to spend any money, and it's getting run down. I mean, here it is November. All of this should have been done months ago.
Pretty good to me.
That's because you don't know what you're talking about. It's in terrible condition. The house needs paint and a million other things. She just has no idea what needs to be done around here.
How is Maggie?
You haven't been to see her yet?
She shakes her head.
She's good. She's over there working in her flower beds.
So, you gonna be here for a while?
No, I am out of here as soon as I can get these guys to finish up. Little Julian has piano practice, but we're all coming for dinner.
Oh, okay, then I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm. Britt? Don't forget to dress for dinner.
Britt is amused. She sees Valletta isn't joking.
Okay, dress for dinner. Right.
Britt wanders off. Valletta returns to marshalling the gardeners. In a quiet part of the garden, Maggie is busy pruning a hanging basket. Britt walks up a garden path and finds her.
Maggie?
Maggie stops pruning and stares at her.
Britt.
The two women walk over and face each other.
It seems like forever.
Britt smiles.
You could have called now and then.
So could you.
After a moment's frostiness, Maggie opens her arms and gives Britt a hug.
Well, now let me get a look at you.
Maggie shakes her head.
You're pencil thin.
You're looking well.
These wrinkles keep multiplying like houseflies. Growing old is for the birds.
It's hard for me to imagine you old.
Well, that's because I won't give in to it. Your father and I used to be out here for hours and hours, and with all these leaves falling, we'd be raking until our backs were aching. Yes, we're going to plant zinnias here this spring. It was your father's favorite flower, you know?
Maggie resumes her pruning, and Britt walks over to her.
How have you been feeling?
Maggie shrugs.
People make such a fuss about getting old. That's all they ever want to talk about. Next subject.
Why do we have to change the subject?
I don't want to make this holiday into a war zone, Britt. Do we understand one another?
Britt's incredulous.
I didn't start anything.
Do we understand one another?
I'm going to go check on Henry.
Is that your boyfriend?
No, it's my son, remember?
Charlie was so handsome.
What does Daddy have to do with this?
The question seems to hit Maggie like a bullet. Looking awkward, she turns around to face Britt.
Well, what do you think about the old place?
Nothing seems to change.
Maggie looks troubled.
You want to come meet your grandson?
Well, no. I'll meet him at dinner, dear.
Maggie returns to her pruning, leaving Britt looking disappointed. Britt walks into a bedroom in the house and looks around. The bed is covered with a floral bedspread, and there's a large abstract painting on the wall. Britt steps over to the painting and studies it. She walks over to a bookshelf and looks at some sporting trophies displayed on it. There are more paintings behind the trophies. She spots a photograph album on one of the shelves and picks it up. She flicks through it and looks at some pictures of her younger self. There are some pictures of her with another girl, together with a note. Britt Calhoun and Claire Goodman do solemnly swear never to become boring old biddies. A 30-something woman picks her mobile up off the seat of her SUV.
Hello, Claire Goodman Eisenberg. Have you become a boring old biddy?
Britt, where the heck are you?
I am right here at home.
Oh, my God. Henry, is he wonderful?
Henry's beautiful. He's beautiful.
Okay, I have to see you.
Tomorrow?
Perfect. Get your butt out here first thing in the morning. And wear your boots.
See ya.
She hangs up. Violetta's silver SUV drives up to the house. She sits in the passenger seat and her husband Julian drives. Their young son Julian Jr. sits in the back. There's an atmosphere between the couple and Julian Jr. picks up on it.
We'll talk about this later.
Julian shakes his head. She turns to Julian Jr.
Come on, sweetie.
She and Julian Jr. get out of the car. Julian stays put. In the house, Julian pours a cocktail as Britt comes in with Henry.
Hey, Britt. Long time no see.
Hey, Julian. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, what a beautiful boy.
Well, he has your eyes.
Well, I think they're Nicholas's.
Where is this Nicholas, anyway?
He's in L.A.
Well, he looks healthy.
Yeah, you want to hold him?
No, not right now.
Billy steps forward.
Come on. Come on in the kitchen with Aunt Billy. You can help me out.
Okay, Maggie.
Oh, thank you.
So what's your poison, Britt? Bourbon?
I'll just have some white wine.
Sure.
What are you wearing? It just seems so
dower.
I think it's your basic Sylvia Plath number, isn't it?
Oh, can you please not do this tonight?
Color. Just give me lots of color any time. Where did you fly in from?
Detroit, Phoenix. I made a presentation this morning at OmniDeck in San Francisco.
I don't know how you do it. I'm worn out just getting off the plane.
The porters at the airport see more of him than I do.
Come and get it before I can skate on it.
At the dinner table.
Sit up straight, Julian.
And please do not use your salad fork for the ham.
Hey, relax. It's not a steak dinner.
He needs to learn table manners. He might be at a function someday where it'll come in handy.
You don't know where he's going to be in 20 years. Let him be a kid, right?
Britt tosses food.
No, no.
Well, we certainly knew what you were going to be. You practically jumped out of the womb, ran around the corner to the art supply store. And Valetta, you came out with a checklist in your hand.
I think someone needs a change. What do you think?
Britt gets up from the table and carries Henry into the next room.
Why don't you take him upstairs? It's inappropriate.
He's a baby.
Everybody does it. Even you, Maggie.
You could use the downstairs bathroom.
Okay.
Everything unpleasant out of sight. That way it doesn't exist.
Britt goes. Julian turns to Julian Jr.
Sit up straight, Julian.
Later, they sit around the living room eating dessert.
Billy always makes the most scrumptious cobblers. Mm-hmm. But don't say anything. We don't want her to get the big head.
Outstanding cobbler, Billy.
Okay, have another helping, kiddo. Okay, coffee coming up.
Well, let me help you.
Julian collects plates.
Mama, have you gotten your Thanksgiving menu together?
What are you talking about, dear?
What are you going to serve?
I don't know what you're saying, darling.
Thanksgiving dinner. You're cooking it this year, remember?
Well, I think I'd like to get a new dress.
Well, you can do that, too.
If dinner's too much to handle, we can do it.
I don't like to make a big fuss.
Well, no.
Oh, Billy, what's for dessert?
Well, Maggie, we already had dessert.
Valetta and Britt look concerned.
Would you like some more?
Yes, I would like some more. Thank you.
Britt shoots a troubled look at Valetta, who continues eating her dessert. Looking equally troubled, Maggie sips her coffee. Later, Britt sidles up to Valetta.
What the hell was that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maggie!
The forgetfulness?
Forgetful? Today in the yard, she completely lost it. And then at dessert...
She's old. What do you expect?
So you're just going to dismiss this?
What do you want me to say?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on here.
Are you planning on sticking around? Because if you are, then be my guest. Jump right in.
Britt bridles, and Valetta marches off. The sun rises over a wooded hillside. Britt and Claire gallop along on a couple of horses through the countryside. They slow to a walk.
How's Donnie?
He's good. He's good. We've been together for so long, we kind of speak in code. No one else can understand what we're saying, but we can. It's good. It works for us. So tell me the truth. How's it feel to be back home?
I have a recurring nightmare that I'll be stuck here for eternity.
Who would have thought I'd end up here? But I get to raise my kids around animals and nature, and it's not too shabby. What can I say? I've learned to love the smell of horse manure.
Hey, race you to the pond!
They spur their horses on to a gallop. The horses' hooves kick up dust as they gallop along. They race along side by side across a field at the foot of a hill. They ride past a hut with a corrugated iron roof and arrive at the pond, which is quite large. They gallop around the edge of the pond, pull their horses up and dismount. The women run into the pond and dive into the water. Britt splashes Claire. Maggie sits reading a paper and drinking a cup of tea as Valletta comes in.
Mama?
Oh, out here.
I brought you dry cleaning.
Oh, thank you, darling. Did you read the business section this morning?
No.
Oh, because there's an article that might be interesting to Julian about small tech firms.
Mom, I need to ask you something.
Of course, honey.
Valletta looks awkward. Maggie frowns.
What is it?
Valletta forces a smile, then looking grave, sits down.
Were you and Daddy happy? I mean, all the time?
No, not all the time. But we had many wonderful moments. Why?
Well, I think that Julian...
Oh, I don't believe that. Julian loves you, and he's an honest man. Don't you think he'd say something if that were the case?
I have to pick up little Julian. Soccer.
Valletta, there are no easy answers. You work this out. It's worth it. Trust me.
Valletta stares at her mother for a moment, then smiles and goes. Maggie looks troubled. Claire and Britt sit in the sun drying themselves out.
So exhausted and cross-eyed.
Well, now you're a dues-paying member of the Moms Club. It's just the way it is.
What if I don't want to be part of that club?
She sits up.
Now, what's that supposed to mean? You're in it for the long haul. You don't have any choice.
No, I just feel like I still have things I want to do.
Yeah, well, we all do.
I just think maybe I made a mistake bringing a kid into my world.
How hard is it?
It's hard.
She wipes a tear.
Well, can you get by?
Yeah, barely.
Does Nicholas help you out at all?
Have I let him? I'm just happy that he loves being with his son.
If you get a guy with emotional strength, you gotta hang on to him. I mean, you can't push this one away, Britt.
Claire looks out across the pond.
It's so good to see you again. It's good to have you here at home.
Britt smiles. It's a cloudy day. In her room at Maggie's house, Britt picks up her mobile. It's Nicholas.
Hello?
How are you?
Under siege?
Yeah, I bet. How's my boy?
He's stinky, I've been told. I'll let him tell you himself. Hey, it's Daddy.
Hi, Henry, it's Daddy.
Henry grins.
He has nothing to say this morning.
I miss him so much. And you?
Britt smiles.
Okay, you don't have to say anything, just... Just know that I'm thinking about you a lot. Will you call me if you want to talk?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, bye.
They hang up. Britt strokes Henry's head and looks pensive. In her bathroom, Maggie dries her face off with a towel. She turns the tap off and puts the towel down on the side of the basin. She picks up a toothbrush and a tube of toothpaste. She suddenly looks troubled and stares at the items in confusion. Britt carries Henry in his carry-cot into the kitchen and finds Billy there.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How's Henry?
Took his whole bottle. Like a trooper.
I was once engaged to a lout who required several bottles a day.
Yeah, that looks nice.
Thanks, it's a start.
Flowers.
Did you ever want your own family?
I had a few offers in my day. But the timing was always off. And then your father died and my life changed.
I remember you spent the night in my room the night he died.
Yeah, this place kind of fell apart after that. Mags took to her room and, you know, in those days we weren't particularly fond of one another. I was kind of the black sheep, showbiz and all, you know.
Do you miss it?
Listen to me, kiddo. My career was just one peg short of heartbreak. Hell, I did okay for a little while. Then that was over. And I got into trouble, real trouble. And one very, very bleak Thanksgiving, your father came along and bailed me out. And I learned how to cook and how to babysit you girls. And got a family in the bargain. I've always loved this holiday for that reason.
Yeah, but didn't you ever get sick of taking care of all of us?
Yeah, all the time.
Britt smiles and stares into the distance.
Is the playhouse still open?
Yeah. Well, the key's right there. Yeah, it's been ages since anybody's been in there. Why don't you go on? I'll watch Henry.
Britt glances at Henry, then puts her coffee down and steps out of the house. She walks through the garden. She passes a detached double garage and walks across a lawn to a building with a porticoed entrance. She peers through one of the windows of the playhouse. Inside is an untidily stacked heap of long-abandoned junk. She unlocks the door and lets herself in. She shuts the door behind her and looks in a large cardboard box. She moves on through the cluttered playhouse and pushes a tarpaulin-covered chest out of her way. She opens a hat box and looks inside it, then picks up a can full of paintbrushes. She examines one of the brushes. Britt looks at a painting she finds on the floor. She wipes some of the dust off it.
Britt? Britt? Are you ready to go shopping?
Come here.
Maggie steps into the playhouse.
Oh, heavens. Well, this place is falling apart.
Look at this. Remember when you painted this of Daddy?
She holds up the painting, which is a portrait of her father.
What was I thinking?
He's a distinguished-looking man wearing a collar and tie.
I never was any good.
Yes, you were.
Oh, please. I should have just admitted it was a hobby.
I can see he was drinking too much.
What a thing to say.
Come on, everybody knew he had a problem. We just never talked about him.
Oh, Britt. Why on earth aren't you dressed?
Just take a minute.
Well, put on something nice.
Okay.
And try not to look like a gangster.
Maggie drives Britt. They're stopped at a green light.
That makes me so darn mad.
She pulls away.
You're holding up traffic.
You're just so impatient.
She brakes unnecessarily, annoying the driver behind her.
Just spit.
Let me drive, okay?
You're all in so much of a rush. Why don't you just leave it to me?
She looks in her mirror.
The devil is this place? It's always right here on 3rd.
We're not even on 3rd. 3rd's back there. It's way back there.
I've been there 100 times. You don't think I know my own town?
We can do this another day.
No, we're going to do it today, Britt.
Maggie deliberately blocks the car behind her from passing. The other car pulls out and speeds past. Maggie shakes her head. Britt eyes her warily. Later, they're in a clothes shop.
Look around, you might find something you like.
I brought something with me.
and take a look, because you might find something you can't live without. And you need something for Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving, not New Year's.
A shop assistant.
May I show you something?
No, thanks.
You're the writer. No, artist. Your mother talks about you all the time.
Really?
Oh, yes. This just came in. It's exquisite.
Thank you.
Oh, that's darling. Why don't you get that?
It's not really me, thanks.
Oh, but it's perfectly lovely. My treat.
No.
Don't be ridiculous. You need some color. Oh, what do you think of this one?
Good, buy it.
It's very expensive.
Well, you said it was a special occasion.
All right. Yes, I'll take it.
It's a black dress with an oriental dragon on it. Maggie goes into a changing room.
Will there be anything else, Mrs. Calhoun?
Britt, don't you want that dress?
It's really not me.
You wish you had. Wrap this up, Martha, and the other one as well.
Maggie, I don't want it.
When you get home, you'll change your mind. You and your sister Valletta are nothing alike. Valletta would have had this out of here in a split second. And of course, her closets are already overflowing with everything under the sun. Poor Julian. He must have to work overtime to pay for the...
Britt glances at her mother and frowns.
What is the word?
Dry cleaning bill?
Yes, that's it.
Both Britt and Maggie look troubled.
Here you go, Mrs. Calhoun. Is that going to be cash or charge?
It'll be charged, dear.
Britt looks thoughtful as Maggie pays. Outside, the women cross the car park.
Maggie, are you feeling all right? What's going on?
I was just trying to do something nice for you.
That's not what I'm talking about. There's something wrong.
Oh, here it comes. Why don't you just take this back?
I am not talking about the dress, and you know it.
Well, then I'm going to take it back.
No, Maggie, stop it. Stop! Stop!
They fight over the dress and end up ripping it. The women stare reproachfully at each other.
Let's get out of here.
In the car, they buckle up.
Keys?
I don't mind driving.
I'm driving, keys.
Britt holds out her hand. Reluctantly, Maggie fishes them out of her handbag and hands them over. Britt starts the car. And they drive off.
You used to be such a happy little girl.
I'm not a little girl anymore.
And you're not happy either.
I'm fine.
You and your sister are so different.
Believe it or not, we came from the same place.
I just knew you were going to get into trouble one of these days. You're always out all night long.
I was a teenager having fun.
I remember one character with long hair down his back, and he'd come around on a motorcycle.
Yeah, well, he's a stockbroker now. Are you happy?
Sorry, I was such a disappointment to you.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Nothing's ever good enough for you.
Can't we have an agreeable Thanksgiving for once and not dredge up a lot of unpleasant things?
Why not? We've been doing it for years.
They arrive back at the house.
I made a list of things we need for Thanksgiving. You and Valletta can go to the store for me.
Fine.
To Billy.
Oh, I'm done in. You want some tea? Oh, thank you, Billy. That would be nice.
Maggie goes and looks in the fridge.
All right. Let's see what we need.
She shuts the fridge and walks across the kitchen as Britt comes in.
How's Henry?
Oh, he's an angel. He's sleeping.
If they have any fresh cranberries, get those for me.
Okay. See you later.
Maggie hands Britt a shopping list and she goes.
Sometimes Britt and I are just...
She's from a different planet than you and Valletta.
Do I hold her to some unreasonable standard?
You sure have been tough on her. With that other thing hanging over you. You need to work things out with her before it's too late. How much longer are you going to ignore the truth and admit that we have a problem?
We?
We don't have a problem. I do.
Listen, Max. We've made our peace, you and I. Right? And if two old bags like us can get along, you can find a way to get along with your daughter. She's a great kid. She's a good mother.
I always thought you were off-center. I suppose that's why you two hit it off from the beginning.
I'm off-center.
Maggie nods.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
Maggie shakes her head and smiles.
Yams. We need yams. There. I'll get it. I can't read her handwriting. Oh, cranberries. Oh, they don't look very good, do they?
Valletta and Britt are doing the shopping.
I need to talk to you about Maggie. She had a little episode of the dress shop this morning. What happened?
Britt wheels the trolley over as Valletta bags up cranberries.
She was talking, and then she went blank and forgot what she was saying. Borderline Alzheimer's. Don't you think we should talk to a doctor about this?
You know her. She hates doctors. Look, we already talked about this. She's old. Old people have lapses in memory. Heck, I forget things all the time.
Yeah, but you don't forget that you had dessert 30 seconds after the plate's cleared.
Valletta sweeps her fingers through her hair and walks off looking at the shopping list. Britt follows her with a trolley. At the butcher's counter...
Excuse me. We need a big... Turkey, everything here looks kind of puny. Can you do better?
I'll see what I have in back.
The butcher goes. Britt gives Valletta a loaded look.
If you want to take Maggie to the doctor, be my guest.
There is something wrong.
She's strong. We're keeping an eye on her. Nothing's going to happen.
A turkey.
How's this one?
Free range?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess it'll have to do.
In the car park, a busboy helps them load the shopping into the boot of their car.
Thank you.
Britt tips him.
What was that about?
Carrying our groceries.
You thought he was cute.
Hey, if you'd ever worked for minimum wage, you would understand.
Well, thank God I didn't.
Do you ever get sick of this place? Nothing ever changes.
I think it's peaceful. Nobody's sleeping in doorways. You hungry?
Yeah.
Good. We'll stop at the club on the way home.
Get a better idea. Let's get this home first.
They get in the car. In a bar, a bartender puts drinks on a tray. A woman lights a cigarette. Valletta follows Britt into the bar.
It's a dump.
Think of it as character.
I hope we don't pick up some airborne disease.
Hey, I had some great times in here and I'm alive.
I think I'd have my doctor do a full workup if I were you.
They sit at a table with a white and red checked tablecloth.
See that booth over there? I used to make out with John Harding in there. My lips were raw by the time I got home.
Now there's an appealing memory.
Excuse me. Could we have 2 cheeseburgers, everything on them, and a couple shots of tequila?
No onions for me.
Everything, please.
Valletta smiles.
You've clearly led a more bohemian lifestyle.
Well, it was in the country club.
Britt gets up from the table, leaving Valletta looking thoughtful. Britt returns with the tequilas and raises her glass. Valletta responds, then they knock back their drinks in one. Valletta smiles thinly and puts her glass down.
My lifestyle may not appeal to you, but... somebody had to be at home taking care of Mama.
So tell me what's going on with her now.
To the barman.
Excuse me. 2 more, please.
Britt looks at her sister in surprise.
I can handle it.
All right.
I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I get tired of being the one to look after her. Why should I do it all?
Because I don't live here.
Britt smiles, gets up and goes to the bar where she collects the fresh shots of tequila. She returns to the table and hands one to Valletta, who immediately knocks it back. Britt downs her drink. It's dark back at the house. Henry lies awake in his cot in Britt's room. Maggie wanders into the room wearing a long pink gown. She goes over to the cot and looks at Henry. She picks up his dummy and puts it in his mouth, then covers him over with a blanket. He stares up at her, and the ghost of a smile crosses her lips. In the bar, Britt and Valletta play darts.
Can you believe I've never played this game before?
Yes.
Ha! I've played it every night.
We just went to sorority functions.
Well, did you wear hairbands and pearls?
I'm sure you had more fun.
Probably. Well, that's the difference between being an art major and an English major.
There's probably better sex in the art department.
I don't know about that. I ever tell you about... Never mind.
Come on. Tell.
Well, I was kissing Ronnie G. Do you remember him?
Ronnie G? Oh, my God. Ronnie G? Little MG.
He snuck his hand up under my blouse. And he got so excited.
But I don't blame him.
He got his legs caught in the steering wheel, and it hit the horn, and it stuck. All the lights went on in the house. Yeah. Mama came running down the stairs, and she stood on the front porch and just and switched the light on and off, on and off, and off, and on and off.
So her.
I thought she was going to kill me.
Valletta swigs beer.
So, did you do it with Ronnie G?
No, of course not.
Britt steps up to the hockey and throws a dart.
Are you telling me that Julian is the only man you've ever slept with?
She turns to look at Valletta, who remains circumspect.
You remember that time that Mama and Dad took us to San Francisco?
Any bar.
We got so drunk.
Oh, God. I got so sick.
Well, I can't believe that you refilled all the vodka in those little vodka bottles with water and thought that nobody would notice.
Yeah, thanks for taking the fall on that one. I owe you.
Well, that's me. I'm the responsible one. I'm the one who stayed behind and who takes care of everyone and everything and whose husband can't stand to spend a moment with.
What are you talking about? Julian's crazy about you.
Never mind.
Britt frowns at Valletta, who goes to the dartboard.
You know what? I think I'm getting good at this.
Valletta? You okay?
Of course I'm okay.
Glad you came out.
So am I. It's good to have you home.
They share a smile. The next day, it's a bright, sunny morning. Billy comes into Britt's room and finds her in bed.
Britt, you have a long-distance phone call.
It's Dorothy calling.
Hello?
How are things back home?
Weird. How are you?
We heard from the foundation.
Britt sits up.
And?
You've got the grant.
Ah!
Oh, Lord!
I got the grant.
Britt?
I got it!
Are you there?
Britt! Oh. Hello?
Look, have a happy Thanksgiving. You deserve it.
We'll go over the details when you get back. Okay, thanks.
Oh.
I got the grant.
That's my girl.
Delighted, Britt hugs Billy. Henry stands up in his cot.
Oh, don't tell anybody. I want it to be a big surprise. I'll save it for dinner.
Okay, but I'm not surprised.
Britt grins and covers her mouth with her hand. Outside, Valletta marshals an army of gardeners. Julian walks across a lawn to her.
It doesn't need to go that way. It just needs to go this way.
You know, my car automatically heads straight for your mother's house these days. You're always here.
You look smug.
Yeah, well, you know.
How did it go?
They kiss and he looks awkward.
Julian, come on, tell me.
Okay. I did it. I sold my idea to Omnitech.
That's fantastic.
It gets better. They want to buy me out.
What?
And they want me to stay on and run the new company.
Are you going to do it?
It'd be hard to pass up. We'd be set for life.
But is this going to mean more time on the road?
For a while.
Valletta looks disappointed and walks away a few steps. Julian puts his hands in his pockets.
All this time on the road, it's hard on us.
Valletta, this is a good thing. My work, it's for both of us.
I miss you.
Julian looks down, and Valletta walks back to the gardeners. Julian rubs his chin, then hanging his head, he walks away. In the playhouse, Britt is going through some old stuff. She looks at a shawl, then throws it aside. She opens a trunk and pulls up a chair. She sits down on it and opens a hat box in the trunk. She takes out a red hat with some grapes on the brim. She puts it on. She picks up a shoebox and opens it. Inside are a load of old photographs. She finds one of her mother from the 1940s. Another of her father and mother together. Britt laughs as she finds one of her as a toddler on a beach.
Who's in there?
It's just me.
Britt quickly takes the hat off and puts it back in the chest. She continues looking through the photos as Maggie comes in.
What the devil are you doing in here?
Maggie looks around.
You get filthy as all get out.
I was just looking for some of our old toys. I thought Henry could use them.
What were you laughing about?
This.
She hands her the photo.
Oh.
You should have burned that.
We should keep it for your son.
Don't you dare show that to anybody. Give me that.
You know, your father took that on vacation.
Britt smiles.
We were in San Diego.
Seems like he died a long time ago.
Not for me.
Maggie shakes her head.
Even when I look at his picture, it's hard for me to remember him.
He was so thrilled when you came along. We didn't expect to have another child. He thought you were a treasure.
Britt beams.
Oh, let me see that silly thing.
Yeah, you paid money for this?
I beg your pardon. I was the rage of the Thanksgiving ball at the club.
The red hat with the grapes.
Uh-huh.
Maggie tries it on.
Oh. It was a long time ago.
Britt smiles and looks at the photo of Maggie and her husband together. Violetta sits outside the kitchen and stares into the distance, deep in thought. Billy puts some laundry down on a kitchen worktop, then walks over to Violetta.
Violetta, what are you doing out here?
I'm just waiting for the landscapers. They're not finished.
I talked to Merle and Connie. They said they're going to be here for Thanksgiving.
That's good.
Violetta keeps her back to Billy to try and conceal her feelings. Sensing something is wrong, Billy sits beside her.
Are you all right?
Violetta turns round.
I'm just not sure how it's going to turn out.
Billy regards her gravely.
We're going to have to tell Britt about Mama, you know.
The right time will present itself.
Violetta smiles.
It's going to be hard. Not sure if I'm ready for it.
You just keep on loving your mother, sweetheart. That's all you need to concentrate on.
Violetta smiles warmly at Billy.
I'll handle it.
She stares steadily at Billy. That night, Britt is still in the playhouse. She props two old photos up against a canvas on an easel. One is of her mother, and the other of both her parents. She takes a deep breath and, keeping an eye on the photos, begins to sketch on the canvas with a charcoal stick. Later she, Maggie, Billy, Violetta, and Julian are having dinner.
I really missed your chicken, Billy.
Ooh, wait till you see what's for dessert.
Billy butters a cracker and eats a bit.
I had some good news today.
Julian smiles expectantly at Britt.
I found out that I'm the recipient of the Artist Academy Foundation grant.
Maggie nods and sips her glass of wine.
Congratulations.
That's great.
It's an important group of people who recognize artists they believe show exceptional promise. You know, big wigs. Well, I'm sure everyone here is very pleased for you, Britt. How does it work exactly? Do they give you money?
There's money involved, yeah.
Can you live on it?
For a while.
Really? Enough for rent and food and everything?
Well, I don't need that much. There's enough for Henry.
Well, hopefully you'll sell some of your other pieces as well.
Well, as long as we're passing out good news, I have some. I sold my company today.
Oh, Julian, congratulations. I always knew all that flying around like a boomerang would sooner or later pay off in a big way.
He certainly has paid his dues.
Oh, I wish your father was here, girls. He'd be tickled to death for you, Julian. Here's to my successful children.
Hear, hear.
Hurt by her mother's faint praise for her own achievement and the fulsome praise heaped on Julian, Britt needs a prompting nudge from Billy to pick up her glass. They drink the toast. Later, Britt sits in the kitchen painting with Henry when Billy comes in and finds them.
You still up?
Britt doesn't look up from her painting.
What's the matter?
What do I have to do to get her attention? Sometimes I hate her.
Oh, please don't say that.
Billy walks around the worktop and sits down at the table opposite Britt.
You know, we all have our faults, including you. Tomorrow's running out. You need to make your peace while there's still time.
How? I don't know how to do that.
Just offer her what you're best at.
Tears roll down Britt's cheeks.
Why don't you let me put Henry to bed? You work a while. You'll probably feel better.
Billy gets up.
Come on, Henry.
Good night, baby.
Billy takes Henry from Britt and carries him out of the kitchen. Britt rubs her eyes with her hands and stares glumly into the distance. It's raining heavily as Britt runs across the lawn towards the playhouse. She holds her denim jacket over her head to protect her from the downpour. She lets herself into the playhouse and shuts the door behind her. Arms folded, she looks glumly at the picture she started, another abstract of a face in a swirling vortex. Suddenly, she snatches the painting up and hurls it across the room. She picks it up and bashes it against another canvas, then impales it on the top of the easel. She glares at the painting. Maggie lies awake in bed, staring up at the ceiling. Maggie steps out of her bedroom and walks out onto the landing. Looking confused and disorientated, she looks down over the banisters. In the playhouse, Britt laughs at her ruined picture and scratches her head. She looks out of the window and sees Maggie making her way across the lawn in her nightdress as the rain continues to lash down. Britt opens the door of the playhouse.
Maggie!
Britt runs out across the lawn to her mother, who potters about on the grass in a confused state.
What are you doing?
I can't find my hairbrush.
She totters on.
Maggie.
Britt stops her.
What are you doing in my yard?
Britt steps forward.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
It's me. It's me. It's Britt. It's me, Mama. Mama. Come here. Step up. Step up. There you go. Good. Come on. All right.
They go into the playhouse.
Are we going to find Charlie?
No. Daddy's not out there.
She sits Maggie down.
Okay.
Britt picks up a blanket and drapes it around Maggie's shoulders. She sits down beside her mother on the sofa and brushes her hair away from her face. She puts her arms around Maggie and hugs her. Maggie still appears confused and disorientated. The next morning, Britt is working on a new picture. This one is a more conventional portrait of her mother. Maggie wakes up on the sofa and, frowning, looks around.
How'd I get out of here?
Britt looks up from her canvas. Maggie sits up and throws the blanket off.
So we're going to talk about this?
A look of resignation crosses Maggie's face.
The doctor says that I have...
She waves her hand dismissively.
You know, I'm losing it.
What does that mean?
Alzheimer's.
Britt nods.
Did you get a second opinion?
Yes.
You could come back with me. We could go see a specialist.
No more doctors. I do the best I can with a bad situation. And I'm not going to let this ruin Thanksgiving.
Britt nods.
Why didn't you tell me?
You cut me out of your life.
Britt looks away from Maggie.
Do you know what hurt me most of all? You didn't tell your own mother that you were having a baby.
I wanted to punish you.
Well, you certainly succeeded.
They stare at each other.
I know I made millions of mistakes with you girls. Your sister feels shortchanged ever since you came along. I gave you everything you wanted, everything. And what did you do? You left.
Couldn't breathe.
Oh, come on.
Britt smiles incredulously.
The only thing I ever wanted from you was your approval. For you just one time to say you're proud of me.
You'll make mistakes too, my dear. Mark my words. Oh, you'll come up with some new beauties with that son of yours.
You know what? You're wrong. I'm not going to do this with my son.
Britt tosses down her paintbrush and gets to her feet. She paces, then turns to face Maggie with her arms folded.
I don't even know if you love me.
How could you say that?
My whole life, I felt like I never really had a mother. And now I'm losing you. So I really do not want to fight.
In a year or so, I won't recognize Henry, and he won't know me. I just thought that distance was the best solution.
Tears well in Britt's eyes.
I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Britt walks over to Maggie and sits beside her on the sofa. She gives Maggie a big hug. They separate and stare at each other.
The beauty of children is that they love you anyway. You're his grandmother. You will always be his grandmother.
Well, then let's make this Thanksgiving a celebration. A glorious celebration.
Okay. I will.
Britt nods and Maggie touches her face.
I do love you with all my heart.
I love you too.
With tears streaming down her face, Britt hugs Maggie, who smiles contentedly. It's a sunny day. In the dining room, Julian picks up a porcelain turkey and puts it on the table.
Oh, honey!
Please be careful. That heirloom is irreplaceable. Mama would just croak if anything happened to it.
Can't we finish setting the table in the morning?
On Thanksgiving, I think we're going to be a little bit busy cooking. Look, I just want to get everything laid out before the florist gets here.
The florist?
You do things your way, I'll do them mine.
Well, you do make the most of every event. I'll give you that.
Well, this is the first holiday we've all been together for years. I want to make it nice for Mama. Francois? What are you doing there? What? What are you talking about? You were supposed to be here. No, 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 no. You get here right now. Do we understand each other?
Have some lemonade.
You're a lifesaver.
You're almost done, you know?
There's a million things to do. I'll never be done on time.
Kiddo, come here. You've been saying that since the day you were born. Now, don't frown so much. You're going to wrinkle up that pretty forehead.
Looking stressed, Violetta sips her lemonade. Julian comes over to her.
Sweetie.
Yeah?
Have I told you I loved you today?
No, not yet.
Well, I do. Wrinkled forehead and all.
He gives her a kiss and goes. She smiles, then sighs. That night, Britt is in the playhouse working on her painting. She puts paint on with a brush, then dabs at it with a cloth. She then paints some more. She works at a rapid pace, totally absorbed in what she's doing. Billy walks up to the playhouse and knocks on the door.
Britt?
Britt opens up.
Hi, we're going for barbecue. Want to come?
Can you fix a torn dress for me?
Say no more. I'll do it when I come back. Okay?
Billy. I know. Maggie told me.
Oh. We'll get through this.
I want to help.
You are helping already. You came home.
A hint of a smile crosses Britt's lips. Maggie lies awake in bed. Hearing Henry's cries, she turns her head in the direction of the noise. Henry crawls about in his cot. Maggie stands in the doorway of Britt's room and looks over at him. She walks over to the cot and looks down at him apprehensively. Maggie bends down and picks Henry up.
Here we go. Yes. Oh, sweetheart.
She hands him some teething beads and he chomps on them. Britt is still working on the painting in the playhouse. The door opens and Maggie comes in holding Henry.
Hey, what are you doing up?
I was awake and I found a partner in crime. What are you painting?
Can't see it yet. It's not finished.
Britt covers the painting up as Maggie comes over to her.
Oh, Henry's such a good boy. Oh.
Sweetheart.
Yes.
Come here. Yes. Did you wake your grandma up?
No.
Sit down.
Okay.
I have something for you.
Oh. Maggie sits on the sofa. Britt picks up a lever arch file and hands it to her mother.
Thank you.
Britt and Henry sit beside her. Maggie opens the decorated file and finds a black and white photo of her and her husband at the altar on their wedding day.
The memory book.
Turning the pages, there are more pictures of the couple and of the children growing up. Maggie smiles over at Britt.
So you can find the past whenever you need to.
Maggie looks emotional as she flicks through the pages. There's a picture of Nicholas holding Henry as a newborn. More shots of Britt when younger. One of her with Violetta and Uncle Davy. Another of Violetta, aged 7, on her bicycle. Welling up with emotion, Maggie covers her mouth with her hand as she looks at the pictures. Violetta and Julian's silver SUV pulls up outside the house on Thanksgiving Day. The couple and Julian Jr. get out of the car and hurry up the steps into the house. They pass the dining room table and go on into the kitchen, where they find a relaxed-looking Maggie, Billy, Britt and Henry, all sitting at the table. A tense-looking Valletta stares at them.
Okay, everybody. Let's get going. Lots to do.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving. Let's get to work.
Billy and Maggie exchange a look and Maggie shrugs. Cutlery is taken out of a box and a flower arrangement is put on a mantelpiece. Billy rolls pastry, Julian chops mushrooms, and Britt whisks a pie filling. Sporting a party hat, Julian Jr. sits at the kitchen table. Britt pours the pie filling into the pastry base and puts the pie in the oven to bake. Julian Jr. draws around his hand with a crayon. In the dining room, Valletta oversees two florists as they place the porcelain turkey in the centre of an arrangement on the table.
Good, good. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
The florists go. Julian chases Julian Jr. around the kitchen. Valletta smiles as she watches them. Britt helps Maggie as she struggles with the turkey. Valletta stirs some stock, then pours it over stuffing mix. She then mixes it in. Britt feeds Henry. Maggie gives Valletta a spoonful of something.
It's really good.
Valletta gives Julian Jr. a sniff of something she's been whisking, and he recoils from it. Maggie and Billy heave the turkey in its roasting dish into the oven and close the door.
Bye-bye.
Julian and Julian Jr. watch football on TV.
Yes!
Britt bumps into Valletta, making her drop an egg which breaks on the floor. Britt goes. Maggie comes in and sees the egg.
You dropped something.
You.
On the lawn, Julian, Valletta and Julian Jr. play a game of American football. Valletta catches the ball and Julian Jr. tackles her to the ground. Julian comes over and joins them. In the playhouse, Britt stares at her painting. It's of Maggie facing towards the sun. Britt crouches, staring at it intently. Valletta is trying to put on a necklace.
Honey, can you, help me, please?
Julian comes over and does up the clasp for her. Valletta is now wearing a spangly black evening dress.
Yes, sweetie, you did a terrific job.
He kisses her shoulder, then notices she's looking glum.
What's the matter?
She turns around to face him and looks him in the eye.
Do you still love me?
What?
When you're out there on the road, have you ever...
I love you. There's never been anyone but you.
You're gone so much, and now you're gonna be gone even more. I'll never see you.
So I'll stay home.
Can you?
Yeah. I'm the boss. I can do anything.
She smiles and hugs him to her. A grey sedan car pulls up outside the house. A portly middle-aged couple bearing gifts get out of the vehicle and make their way up the steps to the house. Inside, Julian fixes a drink and hands it to Valletta.
Thank you. Oh! Here they are. Hello.
Hi.
Thanksgiving. Hello, having lunch.
It's so good to see you.
In her bedroom, Maggie, wearing the dragon dress she bought, puts some perfume on at her dressing table, then goes over to her bed and picks Henry up off it.
Would you like to escort your grandmother down to dinner? I forget things, you know. So maybe you could help me out if I forget someone's name.
Valletta and the guests.
Look what you did.
Yes. What you did.
After, after, oh my goodness.
What?
Well, here she comes.
Oh, cousin Merle. Hi, daughter.
Oh, Maggie, you look sensational. Oh,
thank you.
Billy puts the now roasted turkey on the table and puts spoons out for the stuffing, potato salad and other dishes. Claire arrives with her husband and sons.
Hey, Loretta, happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired.
Oh, well, you'll survive.
She's in the back.
In the playhouse, Britt is still working on her painting. She loads her brush with yellow paint from her palette and begins to work again. Later, her brush now charged with blue paint, Britt sets her paintbrush down, having completed the painting. Maggie and her guests are in the living room.
Oh, Max, you look great.
What a lovely lie. But tonight I'm in a receptive mood, so lay on the compliments.
Billy walks into the dining room with a bowl and mouths okay to Valletta.
Everyone? Everyone, dinner is served. If you will make your way into the dining room, you'll find your name at your place.
Everyone troops through into the dining room.
That is so
sweet. Sweetie, where are we?
They sit around the table with Maggie at one end and Julian at the other. Billy brings the turkey in. Britt appears carrying Henry in his carrycot. She's wearing the blue dress that Maggie bought her when they went shopping and managed to rip in the car park. Everyone stares at her in surprise. Seeing the dress, Maggie beams.
Sorry.
She walks over and takes a seat beside Claire. Merle exchanges a comment with his wife. Billy grins, and Britt and Valletta exchange a smile.
Valletta, would you say grace, please?
Of course.
Maggie looks emotional.
Dear God, we thank you for our family and our friends and all of our many blessings and this food that you so graciously provide. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want you all to know that this is my first Thanksgiving turkey ever. And I don't think it's going to poison you, but I can't be sure. So I'm going to have the first bite.
She stands up and everyone watches as she samples the bird. She smiles her approval. The various bowls of vegetables are passed around and wine is poured. After the meal, everyone's in the sitting room. Julian pours more drinks. Maggie taps her glass.
I'd like to say something.
Billy and Britt smile.
This is a very special Thanksgiving. It's a time of year when we turn towards home and family for comfort and solace. And to have my whole family together under one roof is more than any mother could ask. Now, it's not always easy when we get together. We sometimes can't accept our faults and our transgressions. And believe me, they are many. It gets messy. And we get discouraged. But I do believe that with family, we have the capacity to forgive and be forgiven as in no other place in life.
She gets to her feet and holds her glass.
Time and memory are so fleeting. We must savor every moment. Because it could just slip away without our ever noticing it. Here's to my family.
As she raises her glass, a tear trickles down Britt's cheek.
Here's to you, Mama.
They all drink. As Britt wipes the tears from her eyes, Nicholas sneaks up behind her. He puts his finger to his lips to silence the others.
Happy Thanksgiving.
She looks round in surprise.
I hope there's some leftovers for me.
He and Britt hug.
What?
By way of explanation, Nicholas nods over at Maggie. Britt gawps at Maggie, who raises her eyebrows and nods, unshed tears glistening in her eyes. Nicholas hugs Britt and gives her a kiss. Britt beams.
Well, meet the family. my sister.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. And
hi. Hi. How are you?
Claire.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Did you get all those leftovers?
Turkey was fantastic. I did.
It was fabulous. Well, I'll call you next week.
Okay.
Maybe we're going to
have lunch or something.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Take care.
Thanks
for working so hard.
Don't forget we're having lunch at the club then.
I won't. I'll call Mary and see if she
can. Hi. Hey. Looks like your mother had a fun day today.
Yeah. It's a good day for her. You know, I never thought I'd say this. But I'm really glad I came home.
Good.
And I'm glad you came home, too.
Nicholas kisses her shoulder.
Henry needs his father.
What about his mother?
Yeah. She needs him, too.
Good, good, good.
They kiss on the front steps as the guests leave.
Okay, be careful driving home. Bye.
Good night.
Maggie and Billy walk back inside past the kissing couple.
Oops.
Britt and Nicholas follow them inside. Later, Maggie is getting ready for bed. Britt comes up the stairs with her painting, which is covered by a sheet, and goes into Maggie's room.
I got something for you.
Oh, come in, dear.
Present.
She walks over to Maggie and hands her the covered painting.
Thank you.
Maggie takes the cover off it and looks at it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
They sit on the bed and admire it.
I have to say something.
Maggie looks expectantly at her.
I love you. And I want to help you. But you need to do something for me. You need to let me help you.
Maggie looks down.
Children aren't supposed to take care of their parents.
Tears well in her eyes.
I'm afraid, Britt. I have no control over it. And one of these days, I won't even remember who you are.
Just as long as you know that I love you.
Oh. Now I want to say something to you. I'm sorry. I know I haven't been the easiest person to get along with.
Britt smiles.
And I've been hard on you at times. But I'm so proud of you.
A tear falls from Britt's eye.
And you're a wonderful mother.
I really want to be here for you.
I know you do, dear. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to beat this.
You better. Because Henry is expecting you at his graduation.
I'm so glad you came back. It means so much to me.
This is my home.
They embrace. Maggie looks full of emotion as she hugs her daughter and gently strokes her back. Mother and daughter continue hugging on the bed framed by the open bedroom window. Looking in through the next window, the couple are still locked in their embrace. Maggie's imposing house sits illuminated in the dark. ITFC audio description.